When I was in rabbinical school, one of my professors told me that there were three Jewish stages to every idea. The first Jewish stage is, that's wrong. The second is, you know, it's possible that's right. And the third is, the Jews thought of it first. So I would just like to say that those stages actually happened with what is the most powerful idea in some ways of the 20th century, that is the theory of relativity. First, people didn't believe it, then they said it was possible, and then if you ask certain Jewish professors, they'll tell you we had it first. And this is their proof. The word for the world in Hebrew is olam. And the word for eternity is olam. So, space and time are the same thing. There is no real distinction between space and time. That indicates that we thought of relativity before Einstein, and that he was just quoting an old Jewish idea because we always knew that space and time were indistinguishable from one another, and the Torah had it first. Now, some of you may doubt this, but I would actually like to give you an example of how it is in the Jewish tradition we collapse space and collapse time, and what that has to do with this day and our task. First of all, let's take time. This morning, we said the prayer, Mi chamocha ba'elim Adonai, which is what our ancestors said as they crossed the sea celebrating the astonishing miracle of the liberation from Egypt. But now I would like you to think about that miracle as if it wasn't being taught to you by a Hebrew teacher. In other words, what if you happened to just come across it in a book? And someone said to you, guess what? The being who created the world, who made the cosmos, who fashioned the stars, who in fact is responsible for the existence of everything, believe it or not, that being managed to split a river. When you think about it, it's not much of a miracle. The fact that our ancestors were astonished by God's ability to create a little path through a sea makes you realize that the miracle wasn't really about what God did. It was all about the timing. It was about the fact that when they thought they were about to perish, they were saved. And it's not because they thought how astonishing it was that the same being that created the heavens and the earth could actually manage to hold up some water. So what is the real miracle here? The miracle is not that God could do such a thing. You would expect that, I assume. The miracle is how we collapse time. Because here we are, thousands of years later, when most of the astonishing and wonderful and remarkable things that have been thought and said and done in human history have long since been lost. Long since been lost. But we still remember. We remember that very localized, astonishing thing. Not only do we remember it, but we remember it as if it didn't happen a long time ago. Because, what do we say of Pesach? Ki'ilu hu yatsa. Everybody's supposed to remember it as if it just happened to them. In other words, time is supposed to collapse as though it doesn't exist anymore. We reenact the Exodus because we're supposed to be there. We reenact creation on Shabbat. What is Shabbat? It's the day that God ceased, and you're supposed to act on Shabbat like all of your needs are taken care of. In other words, like you're there at the very moment that creation is finished and everything is good. Not as though you step back in time, but as though time doesn't even exist. We're right there. The past, the present, and the future are all captured in one moment. What do we say about Rosh Hashanah? We don't say thousands of years ago the world was created. We say Hayom Harat Olam. Today, the world was created. Today. Once again, as though time doesn't exist. And as for space, we know that the world is created in space. But one thing that you may not think of about Rosh Hashanah is it shows in its way that Jews, contrary to our reputation sometimes among those who don't like us, Jews are the least parochial of people, the least narrow, the least self-centered. When the Greeks celebrated the New Year, do you know when they dated the world? From the first Olympic Games. That's when the Greek calendar starts. When Christians celebrate the New Year, they celebrate it from when? The birth of the person they consider the Savior. In other words, from the beginning of Christianity. When Muslims celebrate the New Year, they celebrate it from Muhammad's journey. In other words, the beginning of Islam. Do you know the only major monotheistic tradition that doesn't celebrate the New Year at the beginning of its own tradition? Judaism. We don't celebrate the New Year when Abraham went from Ur to Israel. We don't celebrate the New Year when Isaac was born or when Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain. It is Hayom Harat Olam. We celebrate the New Year when everyone was created, not just us. In other words, all of space, everything, is one. We make it unified. We make it single. We collapse it all into one day, one point, one idea. Because we don't think of God as the God who made the Jews. We think of God as God who made everything. So both in space and in time, we bring everything together, as it were, in one point. That's our tradition. And both of those ideas are enacted in the notion of forgiveness. What is it to forgive someone? Let me tell you a beautiful story that I heard not so long ago about a rabbi whose house burned down. His house burned down, and someone came to him. Everybody, thank God, escaped with their lives. Someone came to him and was devastated on his behalf. He said, "Oh my God, you lost everything. That's so terrible." The rabbi goes, "I'm over it." He said, "What do you mean you're over it? It just happened yesterday. How could you be over it?" And the rabbi said, "I learned it from you." "How so?" said the man. He says, "Look, your house burned down too." He says, "Yes, but that was 10 years ago. The rabbi said, "So I knew eventually I'd get over it. Why wait 10 years? So I did it in one day." When you ask someone for forgiveness, it's very rare that they're never going to forgive. Everybody forgives eventually, unless the hurt is so extraordinary and life-changing that even on their deathbed they can't forgive. And none of us, I hope, want to be those people. So if you're going to forgive eventually, collapse the time. Do what our tradition does. Don't wait forever. Don't forgive in a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10. Forgive now and you'll be done. Just collapse the time. And in terms of space, forgiveness isn't only about internal events. It's also about drawing someone closer whom you pushed away. or drawing someone closer who pushed themselves away. And if you understand that everybody is tied together to everyone else, and that just as you want to be drawn close to people whom you've hurt, that you should draw others close when they have hurt you. In other words, that you want to bring space and time together, just like Einstein thought of, but he stole it from the Torah. Then that's what forgiveness is. And in fact, we are seeing it right now, this morning. Because, you know, even though we celebrate 2 days of various holidays, there's 2 days of Pesach and 2 days of Shavuot and 2 days of Sukkot and of the Chag of Sukkot and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the truth is Rosh Hashanah 2 days is not like everything else 2 days. The rabbis consider it a Yom Arichta, one long day. This really isn't, we call it the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but it really isn't the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It's just the extended first day of Rosh Hashanah. In other words, time is collapsed into one long day. And it used to be in this very place that there were some people who on this day would pray in Barad, and some who would pray here, but we have collapsed space into one sanctuary. Thereby reenacting, again, Einstein's theory as explicated earlier by the Torah. And by the way, an oilam also means a hall. So it not only means space and time, but it means where you are sitting. So you are taking olam and olam in this olam. When you forgive, that's what you do. You realize that you're going to forgive anyway, so you may as well forgive now. That you want to be drawn close to others, so you may as well draw others close. That to some extent, the space and the time in our lives are of our own creation. And just as we make them, we can get rid of them. Impermeable barriers are not so impermeable after all. For years and years and years, we had one service there and one service here. And all it took was to say, let's do it together. And we did it together. It's what the Kotzke Rebbe said so beautifully when he was quoting the psalm that says that God is as far from you when you sin as east is from west. And you know what he said to his disciples? You know how far east is from west? All you have to do is turn your head. You were facing one way, now you're facing another. So even if Einstein didn't get it from the Torah, he got it from the Kotzke Rebbe. It's Rosh Hashanah. I have no doubt that there's someone in your life who has hurt you. I have no doubt that you will feel better if you forget the space, ignore the time, and just forgive them. And it will make God's olam, God's world, a nicer place. Shana Tovah.